Ladies and gentlemen, an important announcement from Academy Award-winning actor Mr. George Kennedy.
One very serious point. Lawnmowers do not kill people. People kill people.
Times have I told you this is not a toy?
Oh, there was a phone message for you.
Oh, wow. From Norman?
Oh, wow. He didn't say.
Oh, come on, Mom. What did he say?
Well, at first he goes, your daughter's gonna die tonight.
Police business? Might have a few words with you.
I'll never forget the first time I saw your father.
If I'm rambling on too much, just let me know.
Not at all.
Wacko.
At last, a motion picture made by, for, and about people just like you and me.
From all corners of the globe to your ears, it's the Midnight Movie Cowboys. Sometimes informative, sometimes controversial, but always unpredictable. It's the Midnight Movie Cowboys podcast with your hosts, Hunter, John, and Stu. And now, on with the show.
Welcome to the Midnight Movie Cowboys. This is Stuart here, so you'll hear my voice. That means that there is no Hunter, and you'd be correct. And also no John. They're both tied up doing their own thing this time around. Hunter's got the big shift on, and I think John's out at some kung fu convention or something like that. I don't know. But I'm not running solo. Last year I had my brother Jules on when we did Mean Time, and he's back again for this time around. How you going, Jules?
I'm doing well, thanks. Good to be back again.
All right. And we're going to be talking about a film that we both grew up on from the early 80s, which is what?
Wacko.
Yep, Wacko. Directed by Graydon Clark and written by about four different writers, I believe.
The funny thing about this movie is I don't know too many people who have actually seen it. I mentioned the people about movies from the good old days. You bring up the movie Wacko and people look here.
Yeah, you get a blank stare.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So the only people I know that have actually seen it are, you know, yourself and I and our mate Rob. And, you know,
Rob wouldn't have seen it because of us, if it wasn't for us, I should say.
Yeah, I think we put him onto it.
Oh, yeah, most likely. But now comes the part we can probably talk about for 4 hours on this, but we won't. How did we find out about Wacko?
Oh, that's the question.
Oh, I can tell you for a fact.
All right, yeah. I know, excuse me, before you tell me, I think, I'll just take a pop guess. I think it was sometime around 82, 83, the VHS era had just started kicking in, and it was either a guy who did pirate copies of films.
No,
or
no.
It was maybe another video store in our area.
No.
No, it wasn't those two. Okay.
It's a catalogue.
The catalogue.
It's in the catalogue.
What, the Roadshow catalogue?
Yeah.
But how did we actually get a copy of it?
Oh, we got it from the video store. I was saying, when did you first hear about it? And it was from the catalog.
Oh, sorry. I missed what you said.
Mm.
Yeah, it was. Well, there was a company called Roadshow. They were very big on promoting all the other movies in their catalog. So if you saw a Roadshow movie, for instance, Mad Max, they would have all the previews. Was it before or after the film?
Before,
maybe after.
But even after, because remember they used to have, as the end was coming along toward the end of the film, they did it with Wacko as well on the VH tape I think I've still got in the garage. They'd superimpose over towards the last, say, 5 seconds of it. Stay tuned for more previews.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you'd get loads of previews from the Roadshow catalogue. I mean, how did Roadshow pick up all those movies?
They just bought them through.
Just off the top of your head, can you name some of the Roadshow movies, just as an example of what we're talking about?
Okay, well, they weren't holding the titles like Indiana Jones, Raiders of the Lost Ark, and they weren't holding, all the stuff that Universal and Paramount and Warner Brothers held. They got more of the lower-end independent stuff. Well, they did have First Blood.
They did have First Blood, I remember that.
Yeah, they had First Blood.
Just to sort of describe Roadshow, for some reason their actual video cases were slightly larger than the standard
size.
They
were huge.
Yeah. They're a bit cumbersome in if you put it in your shelf. And
yeah.
They're a bit awkward trying to open, and weren't they? They're this sort of weird.
They had this weird habit after many years that just through general wear and tear. You remember when you open up, they have the sort of, when you open up most videotape boxes or cassettes with covers, they just snap open, whereas Roadshow had that, and then they had this inner piece as well, which would connect to the inner piece of the back of it. Yeah. And then I saw so many of those smashed up. It wasn't funny.
I remember the covers used to get a little bit warped as well. They were a bit cheap plastic, weren't they?
Yeah, they were. Yeah, if they were out in the heat, forget it.
Yeah, and it sort of had like a snug, the actual cassette itself had a snug fit into
it. Oh, that was the best I've ever seen for any video company, where you could have some, like the smaller ones, like Rigby CIC, which were an arm of Universal.
Yeah, another one, yeah, Rigby CIC.
But they didn't house tapes as good as Roadshow. Nobody did.
Yeah, you could shake it and it just wouldn't move.
No, it was like it was glued in there. And so we got this, anyway. Just to go back, and I know I've mentioned this catalog before in the past. People might be thinking, "Oh, what the hell's he on about?" So, what was it? 83, you reckon?
I'm going to say about 83. Yeah,
yeah. I'm just trying to think when I started. I can't remember if I picked up this catalog in grade 6 on an excursion or year 7. I don't think it was year 7. I think it was grade 6.
Yeah, it was. It was at the very.
It was grade 6. I remember because I was with this guy called Danny.
Okay.
Yeah, me and him, and we were on an excursion, and we splintered off from the rest of the group, went into a video store. Just went up to the counter, and there was that catalog there. I said, excuse me, are these able to take? He goes, yeah, they're free. Just take one.
Yeah, the old Roadshow catalogs. Yeah.
And I can't tell you guys, like, no lies. Me and Jules would just sit up night after night after night, just talking about the catalog, just going through titles in there. And we'll get to Wacko shortly, but the part of the catalog's involvement and finding out through it is a big part of our youth.
Well, here's the thing, right? You have to sort of explain the situation. So it's about 1982, 83. Videos and VHS have just become a thing.
Yeah.
Prior to that, all you had was three or four TV channels on TV.
Yep.
And once or twice a week you got a couple of movies on TV to watch. So prior to that, you didn't really have anything to watch. It was just... So when videos came out, it became a big thing. And, then a whole new world has sort of opened up.
Oh, yeah.
And that's where, we started discovering all these movies. And
and through Ronnie.
Ronnie the pirated.
Yeah, the pirate king of wherever the hell he lives.
With his big Alsatian dog that...
I think I've mentioned this before, either on the show or I've mentioned in private conversation, I can't remember, where I didn't like his dog.
Oh, it was a scary dog, yeah.
It was a scary dog, look at it. I said to myself one day, God, I wish that dog would just die. We did one next time it was dead.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, my God.
Yeah, I know. Shit. Yeah, I mean, just getting back to that Ronnie fellow, he got a hold of copies of things like Return of the Jedi before they actually hit the cinema, or they might have been still at the cinema.
Well, it was still at the cinema.
So, to get that, to get copies of those were...
Yeah, but to be fair, his copy was shit. It was bad.
But the thing was, just getting back to the video sort of just discovering the whole VHS world, there was a select amount of films that were out there. So you sort of were able to see a certain amount of films. Some of them were, a lot of them were B-grade films.
Oh, yeah.
So we grew up sort of like with a lot of B-grade movies, and that's how Wacko has become a big part of our sort of...
Do you remember what page Wacko was on in the catalogue? Oh,
could not tell you. Could not tell you.
Guess.
I don't know. First page.
Page two.
Page two.
Or page one was First Blood was the new one on the front, and Wacko was on the inside page with... Might have been Young Doctors in Love was the other one as well.
What I remember about the Roadshow films was on the front, on the cover, you had the front cover. On the back, you had two covers of two other titles.
Yes, this is the VHS tapes you're talking about now.
Yeah, the VHS tapes. Yeah, not the catalogue. Yeah.
So anyway, and we won't rattle on too much about Roadshow because it's not a show about Roadshow, but it is very important. Their titles to us, with Wacko being one of them, obviously. And Roadshow were very... unique, because what's happened recently is I have been trying to recreate Roadshow covers for Blu-rays of titles, because as you guys know, when you collect Blu-rays, 99 times out of 100 the covers are shit. They're not the original poster art or nothing like that. Now, I've been playing around with graphic design over the last couple of months, and I said to Jules, oh, geez, I really want to have a crack at recreating a Roadshow cover. So I looked around, and because their covers are really easy. It was just a picture, like the poster art, just a massive Roadshow logo up the top with the words Home Video Presents underneath that. In the back was basically just a very, very, very...
basic rundown of the movie.
Basic rundown of the movie, even though it was, you know, the wording on it sometimes is like, you know.
But that's all you needed in those days, just to sort of, you know...
Just to sell the film.
That's all you needed.
And there was no pictures on there. No pictures.
Nothing.
Just the description... And then it had Don't Miss These Titles underneath that with two posters.
Yep.
And that was it. Pretty basic, you know. And I was thinking to myself when I was recreating these via, I don't have, what's that program?
Don't mention it because you don't have the official version. Let's not mention it because you've got
Oh, no, I'm using Paint Shop at the moment.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, you're using a photo editing suite graphic design suite to recreate the original Roadshow covers.
And what I had to do with that was actually go back, and thank God for a website called Font Squirrel, which Font Squirrel, what they do is you will drop in an image of a particular font, because I would have been stuffed without it. I would never have worked out what the hell font they're using. You drop in an image and then we'll just scan through everything and it'll show you a whole bunch of fonts of what looks like yours is. And it says, right, you can get it here, you can get it here, you can get it here. Some fonts you got to pay for, which I found, you know, whatever.
Okay, mention names.
And I sent you the final copy yesterday. I said, like, okay, First Blood's now done. Took me a little while because I had to find all the fonts and sizes and all that sort of stuff. And I've still got a couple of, I think, yeah, there are a lot of Roadshow covers floating around on the net. The VHS ones, but they're pretty low-grade scans. But all I needed was just the posters that they had on the back and the text, and I could go find them.
And also, just one other thing about the Roadshow covers, there was like a border around the actual poster site, a poster film. So different sort of colours.
So what it was you'd have, for instance, the First Blood cover is predominantly...
It's like a dark blue, isn't
it? Like a dark denim blue cover.
Yeah, something like that.
Color, I should say, sorry.
Class of 1984 was another film. That was about like an orangey sort of
orangey,
yellow.
More orangey, yeah.
Yeah.
Something like, what was the other one I was trying to start? Kill Squad was purple.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah. So that'd be the main color, and then they just put, you know, the poster and their Roadshow. So anyway, I had to go back and find the fonts. I found them, the sizes. I've got it all written down on my computer in the bedroom there with a... little text file saying Roadshow fonts, which I'll show you another day.
Okay.
And that's what I do from now on. But what I was getting was they didn't have all the computers back then. So they would. I was thinking they would have used stencils.
Yeah.
It's the only way they could have done it.
Yeah. Would have been a stencil or a template or something.
And they would have said, right, this color, main color is going to be dark blue and make it a red stencil logo. That's it. So that's how they would have done it. So... yeah, Roadshow was a big part of that, and Wacko we found through that. Otherwise, I would have never known about it back then.
Yeah.
And we rented it out, and I liked it, you know. You liked it too.
And such was the catalogue. It was a sort of a small but sort of...
Comprehensive
sort of, you know, list of movies.
Yeah.
Even today, if we hear about a film like Hard Road to China with Tom Selleck, that was a Rocho.
That was a Rocho title, yeah. Like I showed you, I sent you a picture of, what was it? Not in Seminoid. That was on there though.
Rabid. Just quickly.
House of Whipcord.
Yeah, there was about, I could name you about 10 off the top of my head. There was even one with Marilyn Chambers. It was called Insatiable.
Yeah.
That was a Rocho production.
That was a Rocho. Yeah, the cut version.
Yeah, cut
and
version.
And Dracula Erotica.
Yeah, Dracula Erotica with Jamie Gillis and various others.
Yeah.
Venom, Rabid, Mad Max, the original Mad Max, Class of 1984.
Yeah.
High Road to China. Halloween 2.
Halloween 2.
Halloween 2 was another one.
Force of One, the Octagon.
Force of One, yeah, Force of One, Octagon. What was that John Travolta movie where he...
Blowout. Yeah. The one I had to recreate the cover,
So there was a whole bunch of them, and the one we're going to talk about tonight is Wacko, which is a...
I'll go even further.
What's that?
Pink Motel, Fake Out.
Yeah, I remember the names of those.
Yeah.
Was there one called Mother's Day? Was Mother's Day part of Rocho? No.
No,
it wasn't.
No, it wasn't them.
All right. Anyway, so we're basically just... this was a very part of our early sort of introduction to VHS and the movie sort of... our movie...
I think that Rocho catalogue was the biggest influence of anything for us, for videotapes, for sure.
So a lot of those films have survived.
Yeah.
And they have a very sentimental value, some of them do, like Wacko, which we're going to talk about tonight.
So yep.
Perhaps we should get on to the movie.
Yeah, okay. So Wacko 1981, directed by Graydon Clark, starring George Kennedy, Stella Stevens, Julia Duffy, for those of you unfamiliar with her but know the name kind of, sort of. It's... same woman from Newhart.
I first saw her in Wacko, but then I saw her later on in the Bob Newhart show, Newhart.
Yeah. Newhart, not the Bob Newhart show. It's an earlier Newhart, one.
Yeah.
She was in Newhart. Who else was in this one? Oh. Andrew Clay, a.k.a.
A man called Andrew Clay, which was the very first time I'd ever seen him, and he turned out to be, returned later on in our in our life as a sort of slightly different character.
Andrew Dice Clay. Anyway, what do you reckon of Andrew Clay in this? How far off from the Dice Man is he in this one?
Well, okay, it's funny you should say that because about a week ago I stumbled across the E! True Hollywood Stories documentary on Andrew Dice Clay on YouTube. It's on YouTube if you want to watch it. So I decided to watch it. I had nothing else to do, so I chopped it on and everything. And it gave a bit of a rundown on how he ended up in Los Angeles, and it was more on a sort of comedy-based thing, like stand-up comedy, but
yeah.
A lot of it was based on a few characters. One of them was obviously John Travolta.
Yeah, of course.
One of them, interestingly enough, which I didn't know but was brought up, was he introduced part of the Dice Man persona is on, Buddy Love from The Nutty Professor?
Oh, yeah, I've heard that before.
Based on that, yeah. But anyway, what I found out was that... Andrew Dice Clay was just doing, loads of work. He was just a workaholic, basically, in Los Angeles. So he must have had an agent, and got a way for him to get some movies, extra work. So that's how he found his way into Wacko. I would say it's more the early years where he was that sort of John Travolta persona.
Yeah, definitely.
You can see the sort of early Dice Man thing there, but it's not quite.
Especially in that line when. Earlier on, when he's at the school, after they've had that Schlongini song.
Oh, God, the Schlongini song. Yeah, that's.
And you just hear a couple of glimpses of the Dice Man's character when he's talking to his girlfriend.
Plays that sort of cocky, sort of confident. Yeah.
You got champagne tea, sweetheart. Yeah, that's what reminds me of
Dice Clay. Sorry, you cracked me up when you said that. Yeah, I mean, this is the first time we saw Andrew Clay as Tony Schlongini in Wacko, and it's hilarious.
Now I saw him in the film Casual Sex after that.
Yeah, that's
about 88, 89.
Our mate Rob mentioned that he was in a film called Casual Sex. I haven't seen it yet.
I've got it on the shelf. Oh,
I'll have to give it a watch because anything that Andrew Dice Clay or Andy Clay or whatever name he goes by is in, you got to sort of take note because it's it's Andrew Dice Clay.
Because the thing was as well, when Ford Fairlane came out, I'm like, that's Schlongini. What's he doing in the movie?
Yeah, but I think I heard. I think I heard
Did we hear his album before the Four Feelings?
I think a couple of his stand-ups we got a hold of. I don't know how we got them, but I think it might have been The Day the Laughter Died, which I still find quite funny.
Oh, I don't. I reckon it's crap now.
It's
dumb. It just sits there. There's just absolute silence, and he's going,
What's going on?
Let's go see the tree. I don't care. There's nothing funny about that sort of stuff, you know?
Yeah, but on that Eat Your Hollywood Stories, his agent said they set up a live performance where he was going to be playing at a crowd that was going to be not so receptive to his
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so they wanted to be a bit controversial. The first one was
at Madison Square Garden.
Yeah, it was like, you know, it was all Dice fans. It was all, you know, everybody was getting into it.
Oh, that gives a bit more perspective because
his agent said like that they wanted a bit more controversy to sort of, you know, to make it a bit more sort of go down a different sort of avenue. But
I remember when me and Rob listened to the Day the Laughter Died Part 2 when he got it in.
Yeah,
for 75 minutes we just sat there looking at each other like, "What? This isn't funny. This is just stupid."
I actually don't mind it, but you got to be in the mood for it, I suppose.
For the second one?
Oh, no, the second one.
Part two.
Okay, the second one is just, he's just...
No, part one I can listen to. Like I said, it's over the years, it's sort of fallen away with me. I'm like,
Yeah, but it was a product of its time.
Yeah, it was.
It was a product of its time. But I think we heard that before we saw Ford Fairlane.
So, I think you're right, yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure we did because, you know, Tony Schlangini had become... You know, sort of from, you know, 10 years back. But what I found interesting was I recently got all the episodes of Different Strokes.
Did you?
Yeah. I know you don't like it anymore, but I still enjoy it.
It's stupid.
Well, that was another show from our childhood. But anyway.
Yeah. Doesn't mean it's good, though. Because it was around. But anyway, you like it. But okay.
Sentimental value, it still holds up. Andrew Dice Clay appears in two episodes.
Yeah.
As his character is Crazy Larry. And basically, he's like a high school bully, Guido type. Basically, a very similar character to what he plays in Wacko, but he's more of a bully. So, for some reason, when I was growing up watching Different Strokes, I don't recall seeing him in that, unless I saw it and I just didn't know who he was, or it sort of slipped my mind who he was.
He does look different in this. He looks like he's got like that. That brill haired Gene Simmons.
Yeah, he's got the leather jacket and was that black pants, is it?
Yeah.
And he's got this sort of comb back shoulder length hair, which.
Yeah.
Yeah, like you said, like a bit like Gene Simmons. You look at his face and you just can't help laughing because of that hairstyle he's got.
Yeah. He looks a lot more like Andrew Dice Clay when he's at the prom dance later at night.
Yeah, he's got his hair slicked back. But he's still quite young, isn't he, in this film? And he's still
he'd be developing, 23 or something.
Anyway, we're getting back. We should get back to the rest of the cast.
Yeah, so the rest of we went through some of them already. And
there's a guy called Scott McGinnis who plays the boyfriend of Julia Duffy.
Yeah, where have I seen him from? After that?
Obviously, that was the I only ever saw him in Wacko, but
he plays Norman Bates in this. His name is Norman Bates. Yeah. Yeah.
But he's actually in another movie called Thunder Alley, which is mid-80s.
Oh, yeah.
That's a Cannon production.
Oh, okay.
It's got Leif Garrett and a few other people in it.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's a pretty corny film, but he's actually in it. So that's the only ever other movie I've seen him in apart from Wacko.
Yeah.
George Kennedy I'd seen in Ghost Ship.
Death Ship. That was one of the titles in the book too.
Death Ship, and that was also another Roadshow production.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, very much it was.
And he's also in another movie called The Eiger Sanction, which I really like. But I saw that later on.
Yeah.
So I think I might have seen George Kennedy in Death Ship, then Wacko.
Yeah.
So I was familiar with his face. His face was always appearing, wasn't it, in movies around that time, wasn't it?
Yeah. And Death Ship was real. That was a real.
No, that was a
Bulk Brothers movie. That one.
Oh
mate.
Yeah, we that was one of our early films. So.
I did watch it again because I bought it on. Thankfully, it's been released on Blu-ray here. I know in a couple other countries it has. And it got released with that same poster art.
Oh, the ship on the
big ship with the
Just for some of our younger viewers, just to give you paint a bit of a picture about the sort of early VHS era, just briefly. When you obtained a movie, you basically only had about 3 or 4 films that was in your collection for that time.
Yeah.
So basically, you watched the same movies over and over and over again. There was nothing else you could sort of watch.
There was a guy when I worked at the post office. he was telling me that he rented out First Blood when it came out on video, and he had it for 24 hours.
Right.
You watched it 9 times.
Yeah.
He goes, so basically, I want to get my money's worth out of it, so yeah. I watch it 9 times.
Just have it on real. Yeah, well, that's what used to happen. And, you know, you'd go to film and you just watch it day after day after day, and it became very ingrained in you, as you know, from your childhood. So that's where we're coming from, basically.
Yeah.
So who else is in Wacko?
And we had a pop-up VHS as well.
Oh, the old pop-ups, yeah, with the remote control. You had to plug it into the video. So yeah,
and the flashing zeros always when the power went out.
Yeah, you could only use the remote control if you were within distance of it being plugged in.
It wasn't wireless; it was wired.
Yeah.
Who else is in this? Elizabeth Daly's in this.
I looked her up recently. She's been in a lot of recent TV shows.
Yeah, and been in a couple of Rob Zombie abominations.
Okay.
And I think she was the voice of Babe, the pig movie.
Oh, okay, yeah. I saw her filmography thing. It was quite extensive, but later on.
And she was in Pee-wee's Big Adventure as well.
Okay.
The first Pee-wee movie. So.
Joe Don Baker.
Oh, yeah, Joe Don Baker. Probably my favourite there.
He's one of the main cast members, actually.
Oh, yeah, he is.
Charles Napier has a very, very short but very, very memorable cameo appearance.
Yeah, he's only in it for, what, maybe 4 minutes?
Not even.
Yeah.
He's absolutely brilliant in this, isn't he?
Oh, we were pissing ourselves laughing at everything he was doing tonight when we were watching on the big screen. We watched on the big screen, sadly, with the DVD I've got, which it's not available on Blu-ray yet. We'll get that later. It doesn't look great, but, I mean, we still understood what was going on.
Yeah, but what I like about Wacko is when I watch it now, and because of its grainy, still grainy picture, it still reminds me of that VHS.
Yeah, it's got that kitsch factor of the old VHS look.
Exactly. It probably wouldn't look as good polished and all polished up. It would. Okay.
Look, if it ever came out on Blu-ray and it was all polished up and all that sort of stuff, I would buy the Blu-ray and I'd keep the DVD.
Yeah.
Just as that, like I've done with, there was one film I did out there with, I had the new Blu-ray, but I said, I still like the old VHS look of this one. I think it might be Night of the Living Dead. It was Night of the Living Dead, the Romero one.
A lot of those B-grade movies from the late 70s, early 80s, they still have that atmosphere about them with that grainy look and that.
Yeah.
That's how I feel about it anyway.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, they do. They have that old, I mean, good luck trying to rent down these or track down these VHS tapes now to buy, because roadshows have got a fair market.
Yeah, I looked up recently on YouTube, and a lot of the those films from that era are on YouTube. Thankfully, not many people like them, so...
Oh, fake out's not. I can't find it.
Yeah, not all, but a lot of them are.
Yeah.
Thankfully, a lot of people don't really like these films, or so they seem to slip under the radar and get the star on YouTube. You know?
Yeah.
Anyway, getting back to our cast.
Love it, First Bite.
Yeah, that was another one. That was another one.
Alvin Purple. Oh, we'll go on forever about this. Don't worry about it. Yeah.
So just getting back to Charles Napier, one of the funny comments one of our mates, Rob, always talks about, he goes, there should be the Charles Napier box set, Wacko, Rambo 2, and the Blues Brothers, because he just makes an impact in each film he's in, doesn't he,
Charles Napier? Yeah, he does. He was in the old Russ Meyer
movies. Oh, was he?
In the late 60s, yeah. Harry, Cherry, and Raquel, he was in that. And a couple of others, I think another one as well, Russ Meyer's.
Okay, and just to complete the sort of cast of Wacko, there's a few others. The guy that plays Zeke, who's like a, what is he, like a caretaker or something?
Yeah, like a caretaker, janitor.
We'll get to the plot in a minute, although it's not very...
It's just a parody of horror movies, really.
Yeah, we'll get to that in a minute, but that Zeke fellow, I forget his actual name.
Anthony James.
Okay, I'm pretty sure I've seen him in a Get Smart episode.
Oh, yeah, I wouldn't doubt it.
And he's been in lots of westerns, and he's been in lots of Clint Eastwood movies in the 70s.
Clint Eastwood movies, I was going to say.
I think it was a High Plains Drifter. I think he might have been in that one.
Yeah, but was it High Plains Drifter or Outlaws at Josie Wales?
He might have been in both.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he's always appearing in films with Clint Eastwood. And he might be in both, but I'm pretty sure he's in High Plains Drifter.
He's got that look as well where you want to... Yeah, you can just imagine him being in a western.
Yeah, he's definitely got that rugged, rough-looking
face. Yeah,
Very lined face.
Yeah,
but he's very funny in this film, isn't he?
Oh, he's a pisser. Yeah, yeah.
I can't think of anyone else. The girlfriend of Andrew Dice Clay.
I've never seen her anything else.
Yeah, I don't.
Jolene, you're forgetting the biggest cast inclusion of them all.
Who's that?
Avalon.
Oh God, Avalon, the great Avalon.
Yeah,
we can't find their CD, the soundtrack to the movie, but.
No.
Avalon is just to give you Stuart's been trying to track down the Avalon soundtrack for Wacko for about 25 years.
Yeah, about that.
No success. I found three of the songs on YouTube. There's only four songs on the actual movie, but three of them are on YouTube. So yeah. You could do it. You could do your own sort of.
But I told. Remember, I told you I emailed the singer. Was it Rick Nair? I think his name is.
Yeah.
I emailed him about maybe 15 years ago.
Yeah.
And he had no, he couldn't even remember. He goes, I forgot all about Wacko. He goes, honestly, we were just called in and asked to jump on stage for a day and just mind a few songs.
Wacko gives you that impression that it was probably filmed in a very short time and it was a very transient moment for a lot of the actors, I think. Estella Stevens, did we mention her?
Yeah, we have.
Yeah, well, yeah. I first saw her in that and probably the Nutty Professor.
Which is a bit of a tie-in to Andrew Dice Clay's character of the Dice Man.
Yeah.
Was based off Buddy Love from the Nutty Professor, and yet Estella Stevens
I didn't make that connection, but yeah, you're right, absolutely.
And she was obviously the main interest of Jerry Lewis in that movie.
What about the George Kenley, Estella Stevens are Mary Capel, and Julia Duffy's the daughter. What about the son, Damien, who's a take on...
Damien from The Omen.
Yeah, Damien from The Omen.
He's like a midget, but doesn't look like a midget.
Yeah, he's a very strange-looking bloke, isn't he?
Yeah, he's very short and...
Okay, Ma. What was his name? Something Goggin or something.
Michael Lee Goggin.
Yeah, Michael Lee Goggin, that's it. I've never seen him in anything else because you can't miss that face. That's a
no, 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 not at all. That face. He's got the 666 on his forehead.
Yeah, he's got this typical sort of early 80s hairdo and...
like a bowl haircut sort of.
Yeah, a very strange looking face, but
yeah.
If you get to see Wacko, you'll know what we mean, but that's basically the cast.
Just the rundown of the story. It's the number 13 is very prevalent in this a lot. And what it is a setup where... There is a girl who's going out with her boyfriend, and she.
It's Halloween prom.
Halloween prom, and she's meant to be minding her sister and her three and the sister's three friends. Instead, she's got them in the car and got their mouths all taped up. You know, like you sit in now and you behave, or sort of thing. And as she goes out, she's murdered by the lawnmower killer, and the kids see it.
Yeah, the lawnmower pump. He's got a pumpkin head and
a pumpkin head with a big long black nose and a black cape. It's ridiculous looking.
Yeah, look, this is not a horror film. It's a comedy. It's a horror parody. It's all comedy. So you have to just put that into perspective.
It is. Yeah, don't go thinking, oh, it's going to be some sort of wicked horror movie. It's not. It's a comedy. That's all it is. And then it's 13 years later, and Mary, who's the younger sister at the time of the killing, has now grown up, and she's got her prom coming up that night, and it's Halloween. And she's getting picked up by her boyfriend, Norman Bates.
Yeah, Scott McGinnis. He's got strange-looking eyes, that guy, hasn't he?
Yeah, and teeth. His front teeth, man, like some Freddie Mercury's-looking teeth.
When he's looking into the camera, he's just got this strange look about him. But
One thing I noticed while we were watching this tonight was, or this afternoon, was there's a couple of really effective shots in there.
Okay.
And the first one is when the children at the start see the lawnmower killer when he looks into the car window. It's a good shot. It looks really. It's got a creep factor to it, even though it's not meant to be.
Yeah, it could be. That could be used in a horror film, but it was. There was a slight crossover there with horror into comedy. Yeah, because.
Oh, sorry. We did forget one cast member.
Who's that?
Jeff Altman as Harry Palms.
Oh God, he's hilarious. Oh my goodness, man. Yeah, he's funny as well. And that guy, I've seen his face somewhere before.
He's a stand-up comic.
There you go. That explains he's very witty.
Yeah, very fast-talking.
Yeah, very funny, yeah. I know that face, yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, Mary is having her Halloween pumpkin prom, and it's 13 years later, and...
Yeah, so, and just to interrupt for a second, she's basically still traumatized by the...
Yeah.
And basically everything that revolves around her life is the murders that happened 13 years ago. So she's constantly reminded by lawnmowers.
Lawnmowers is a very, very prevalent image and mentioned quite a bit.
Theme in the movie.
Yeah, very, very common theme for a movie. For instance, George Kennedy is basically just a perv who purrs on his daughters when they're getting undressed.
You couldn't get away with that in today, could you?
No way.
But that's what I love about this film. Like, we didn't even see that as being abnormal when we watched it as kids.
Yeah, we were sitting there getting, oh.
The film starts where the sort of, okay, once the sort of, you come back into modern time, or into the future, or, you know, the current time.
Yeah.
The first scene is Julia Duffy, well, she must be about 17 or 18. She's laying in bed in a very sort of skimpy negligee. And you see this sort of, what is it, the thing that comes through the window? It's like a
giant claw.
Yeah, and you think it's going to be some sort of horror-related thing, but it's her father on a stepladder, which is George Kennedy.
Yeah.
And he's trying to, he clips onto her negligee and he's
pulling it up to have a look underneath her. And she wakes up screaming. She goes, "Damn it, Daddy, what are you doing?" He goes, "Nothing, dear, just mowing the lawn."
which becomes a regular catchphrase in the film.
Later on throughout the film when she's having a bath and, you know, she's lying in bed. George Kennedy's just creeping in. He goes, "Damn it, Daddy, what are you doing?" "Nothing, dear, just mowing the lawn."
Mowing the lawn.
So it makes no sense. And people think, if people took this seriously, they go, "What the hell is he saying, mowing the lawn?" But obviously the lawnmower killer. So he's just,
mowing the lawn. What sort of film would you see now where the father's trying to pick up his daughter's dress? That's what I mean. Like, we grew up in an era.
And then saying shit like, "Oh, nothing, dear, just mowing the lawn." That's just
Yeah, and the daughter sort of just shrugs it off like it's, you know.
Yeah.
But we grew up in a non-PC world.
Period.
And I don't understand the PC world. I think it's all just madness. But, you know, when you watch that, we see the funny side of it. There must be some people who get triggered by watching that. You know, they must think.
Then they shouldn't be watching these movies, you know, bugger off, don't watch them.
But these are the same people that sort of think Love Our Neighbor is just a show on racism, which it's not.
No.
But anyway, yeah, so that's how this film starts. And. Yeah, so Julia Duffy, basically, the story centered around her and, yeah, it's her prom and...
Her and her boyfriend are about to do it that night and she can't because every time he gets excited, he makes lawnmower noises. So she gets upset when he starts crying and screaming about that. And
Okay, so what happens is in this town, Joe Don Baker, who's the local cop...
Oh, he's a piss in this.
Yeah, thing, he's more like a...
He reminds us of a friend of ours, big time.
Anyway, he's a local cop and he's determined to crack the case of the lawnmower killer because the lawnmower killer was never
found. He hasn't slept in 13 years.
Yeah, and he looks disheveled. He's unshaven and everything.
He looks like hell and he goes, and then that doctor outside, he goes, "You haven't slept in 13 years?" He goes, "31 years old, doc, you tell me." Looks like he's about twice his age, but yeah.
So he's determined to sort of catch the lawnmower killer and he goes to the police chief, which is Charles Napier.
Yeah.
And he wants the chief to... give him some support and help, and Charles Napier just dismisses him, and he brings in a psychologist guy.
The psychologist?
Yeah, well, okay, I think I've seen him in an episode of Different Strokes.
Oh, most likely.
Okay, so yeah. I've seen him before. And that scene between Charles Napier, him, and Joe Don Baker is hilarious. You know?
Oh, that's, yeah, it's one of the best in the movie.
Oh, is that sign for you, Chief? Will you give me that sign? Charles Napier's face, got his face back to Joe Don Baker, and he turns around, got his fingers stuck up at him. Does that mean no?
That one, then Charles Napier goes, "Who is this clown?
Get him out of here, Harbinger!" No, tell him what you told me.
I love black women.
I mean, some of the dialogue in this film is just hilarious.
Unlike Meantime, which we did last year, which is not really funny. It's funny to us.
Yeah, but it's more of a serious
movie. Is this a comedy? So we got to, you know, our laughter at this is more warranted. The Meantime.
So anyway, basically, the film is set during the one whole day. Where it goes through the high school day of the students leading up to their prom and everything. But it's intertwined with, you know, the Joe Don Baker who's trying to catch the lawnmower killer who he's convinced is coming back to the prom.
The only thing that really threw me off with this was... It seemed like they were sort of celebrating Thanksgiving when it wasn't. It was just Halloween. Okay, all the families are getting together and they're having...
Yeah, well...
Okay. I mean, okay, you can understand the two students.
Yeah.
You know, Schlongini's girlfriend and Mary Graves, but why is Joe Don Baker with his family?
I don't know what that... Look, okay, let me just say one thing. Okay, when we were growing up, we didn't have any... There was no Halloween in Australia.
Still isn't.
We didn't have proms. Didn't know what the hell was a prom. What a prom was. We just saw. All we saw. All we knew were these were things you saw from America on TV. So, these were all new to us when we were watching these films, weren't we? And we obviously we didn't know what they were, so
no.
So we only learned about these things through watching these movies from America, and I didn't even know what 7-Up was until I watched. I think it was Hardly Working. They brought up 7-Up, so all the a Twinkie bar. We didn't have Twinkies in Australia.
Still never have.
Never have. So. No. You see that giant Twinkie in Wacko?
Oh, my God. That's the most ridiculous host Twinkie. And Joe Don Baker carves up for his family, which all his family are all black.
I know. They're like something like some 1950s Mississippi black family or something. I don't know how they sort of ushered that into the script. But
it's strictly for comedy reasons, I'd say.
It's funny,
He cuts them up a Twinkie for their thanks or whatever the hell they're celebrating. But the piece of Twinkie is not... It's not big. It's ridiculously big.
Each size is like the size of a giant cake.
Yeah, it's basically the size of a giant cake. And when we're all trying to lecture him, he just pulls his gun out and points it at them to eat.
So basically what the film is, it's the day of the prom, and it's all got references to horror movies.
Yep.
Which horror movies do they reference? They reference, obviously, Psycho.
Psycho, The Omen, The Exorcist, The Island of Dr. Moreau.
Yep.
What else?
I think there was a slight reference to Halloween because he says after 13 years he's back.
Yeah, it would be.
Slightly. There's a slight reference to Halloween.
Yeah, which was 15 years,
So basically a lot of the iconic horror movies prior to 1981 were mentioned.
Yep.
Were referenced.
Yep.
So it was one of the very first parody films, wasn't it? Like, or what would you call those films?
Like
Flying High.
Which is Airplane for every other country in the world.
Yeah.
It known as Heroes Flying High.
But it was
one of those, yeah.
Very early ones.
Even on the poster, they say, it's in the vein of Airplane and all that sort of stuff. So, yeah, or Flying High to us, which was just massive, that movie was.
Oh, it was. It was big in Australia, yeah.
Yeah, big everywhere.
So, the film has a lot of references to those films, and it's a lot of silly things happen. I mean, at every turn, there's a silly joke, isn't there?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
There's a silly joke, so...
Not on the scale of saw the Naked Gun movies, where there's just one after the other, where they're just throwing anything to see whatever sticks, but, the laughs are pretty thick and fast in this one, for sure.
Yeah, and a lot of it's silly. A lot of it's silly, there's this foul stench coming out of Andrew Dice, Tony Schlongini's locker, and it's just these old gym socks,
It's a pair of my old gym socks.
Can we please go back to the very introduction of Tony Schlongini in this?
Oh, my God, yeah.
This is probably one of the funniest things I've seen in my life. You explain how he gets introduced into the movie.
Okay, so just before he does, the three girls marrying her two friends are talking about, the prom and all that sort of stuff. And one of them goes, "Are you still seeing Tony Schlongini?" and she says, and then so you cut straight to a stairway.
A stairwell.
And three guys, like three nerdy guys, come out and they start seeing everyone's talking about him, clicking their fingers.
And there's all these people behind him like an entourage.
Yeah, like an entourage.
Like a cheer squad.
Yeah, and they're singing this song about Tony Schlongini, and then Dice Clay jumps out in front and goes,
"People who know him just love him.
Yeah.
So if you're feeling down, if you're feeling blue, this dude will make you feel super cool. Tony." Yeah, it's a Tony Schlongini song.
And then Dice Clay jumps out. And he starts singing like a Dice Man. "I am respected everywhere."
No, he's doing it like a...
Travolta.
John Travolta. It's John Travolta, yeah. Tony Schlongini.
Everyone's talking about him. People that know him just love him. So if you're feeling down or if you're feeling blue, this dude will make you feel super cool. Tony Schlongini.
"I am respected everywhere.
Tony Schlongini.
Girls always pulling out my hair. When I'm a rosy around,
boom, 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 boom.
Beholding the side of her mouth,
boom, 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 boom.
My temperature rises, my soul realizes she almost approaches my lead when she's hot.
Tony Schlongini, ow!"
So he does this little Tony Schlongini song, and it ends with him sort of sliding down the stairwell.
He was in Greece, pretty much.
Yeah, it was a very big takeoff of Greece,
Yeah. But it was
It's hilarious. I've seen that scene like over 35 years, God knows how many times, and it's just still.
And we were laughing tonight when we watched it. Yeah,
I'm more laughing at the geeks behind him than I am laughing at
because they're just standing. It's like the director said, like, just stand there, and
they do this little shuffle as well.
They'll do this little shuffle.
Yeah, they're doing this little shuffle of their feet, and that's hilarious. That is absolutely hilarious.
The dinner scene with Mary and her family as well.
With Tony Schlongini?
No. With Julia Duffy and her boyfriend and his mother, Mrs. Bates, who was literally the skeleton with the wig from Psycho.
Yeah, so during the whole high school thing, during the day leading up to the prom, all these things happen at the high school, you know, gags, funny stuff, and lawnmower references to the lawnmower killer coming back. And for some reason, Joe Don Baker and everyone end up at the school. Zeke and all those people end up at the school.
Yeah.
For some reason. And then it leads into the prom. It's like a pre-prom dinner. That must be a tradition in America.
Yeah, it must be, I guess.
Like before the prom, you know, you go to the boyfriend will go to the girlfriend's house to have dinner with the parents.
Yeah, okay, but I couldn't understand why Joe Don Baker was having one.
I don't know. That was just shoot in there for comic reasons.
That was in there because it was funny. That's why.
And then it ends up going to the actual prom itself, where the whole thing sort of culminates into the.
Oh, we should mention as well that Joe Don Baker's character of Dick Harbinger.
Yeah.
Is called to a mental facility where his patient has escaped. So there's your Halloween reference.
Yeah. That's early on, yeah.
Yeah, it was early on in the movie. And he goes, he's back. The lawnmower killer's back. He's obsessed with the lawnmower killer.
Yeah, that's like Donald Pleasance and Michael Myers.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Definitely a reference there. Definitely a connection there.
I didn't tell you while we're watching it, but you know the guy who escaped?
The bald guy?
No, not him. Okay, the other one. The one wearing the cap, he goes, they'll be sorry.
That guy, yeah.
Did you pick him, who he looks like?
Who he looks like? Yeah. He looks like somebody, doesn't he?
Yeah, I know.
Who's that?
Jello Biafra.
Jello Biafra? I haven't seen Jello Biafra for years.
Yeah, he does.
I can't remember what Jello Biafra looks like.
Mate. He does.
He also looks like the guitarist from Cheap Trick.
Oh, Rick Nielsen. Yeah, he does a little bit. A little bit. It's the cap.
It's the cap, is it?
Okay. It's the hat he's wearing, yeah.
Yeah, it reminds me of a little bit like him.
Yeah.
Is he the actual guy who... He confesses to being the lawnmower killer from 30. Is he the actual one? Is he?
That's him. Yeah.
All right. Because I always got confused. Like, who's the actual lawnmower killer from the original Killing?
Well, we're doing this but spoiling the movie, but I mean.
Yeah. Well. Okay. Well, sorry to be a bit of a spoiler, but I'm just.
There's not much.
I've got questions as well. I mean.
No.
Well, I've seen this film so many times. There was that part always confused me, but getting back to, you know, all the silly things that happened during the movie. There's one part where. Joe Don Baker's talking about the killings and that, and he goes back to when he has to tell.
Oh, he's giving the flashback of the story.
The flashback, and he goes to tell George Kenley and Stella Stevens that their oldest daughter's been killed and that.
Yeah.
But for some reason, his
story keeps changing. He's like, he's telling one story, he goes, no, that didn't happen. Now I'll tell you the real story. It happens about three different times. He goes,
and there's one part where he tells a story where he's dressed up in drag. He's being whipped by some dominatrix woman, or is that that young lady that he?
No, it's the dominatrix.
Oh, okay, he goes, "Bear Sergeant Shield."
Did you notice later on though, when he's flipping through the lawnmower book, the dominatrix is with the lawnmower?
Yeah, all those people, Harry Palms are all in the. They're all posing with lawnmowers.
Harry Palms, Zeke, even Joe Don Baker when he's dressed in drags with a lawnmower.
Yeah, they're all got posing with lawnmowers. I don't know, I don't quite get that part, but it's just there for comic reasons.
Who cares? It's still funny.
Yeah, if you like that sort of,
you can't pick this film apart and say, well, it has no logic. Who cares? Logic's out the window.
Yeah, it's just a really silly, but good fun movie, isn't it?
Oh yeah.
And it's got a great cast. I mean, the cast is fantastic. You know, Andrew Dice Clay being in it sort of gives it that sort of. Really, you can't take this film seriously.
Same with Joe Don Baker.
Yeah. And Joe Don Baker,
he's a damn good actor, Joe Don Baker. Yeah. But I mean, this is strictly done for laughs. And he was hysterical on this.
The part where he picks up, where he's telling the story, and one of the stories is he picks up this young woman in a car park or a parking lot.
Yeah,
and he's looking over, and she pulls up her skirt, revealing her thighs. What does he say?
He goes, I could tell she was looking at me. He goes, I just leaned over and gently tweaked her on the leg.
Gently tweaked her on the thigh. Yeah. The way he does it, though, is hilarious.
Oh, we're not doing justice the way Joe Don Baker does it.
Yeah. So eventually we get to the prom, and as I said to you, I didn't know what a prom was. My first introduction to what proms were this film. Can you think of any other films where proms were prominent?
Yeah, Prom Night.
Okay, well, that makes sense. Yeah. Prom Night. But I didn't see that back then.
Yeah.
The other film that was Zapped.
Yeah, which came after this one.
Yeah, it was a bit later, but those were around the same time, roughly. Mm. But Zapped was done with Proms.
That's one we should do, Man Zapped.
What's that, Zapped? Yeah. Scatman Crothers. Goddamn salami.
Hey, Roger.
Hey, Robert. Yeah,
oh, Robert was there. Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, so we get to the prom, and, you know, like I said, I didn't know what a prom was, you know, because no one had proms in Australia. A bit backward back then, wasn't it, the old country?
Yeah, speaking of backward, there's a good segue. Roadshow. We love Roadshow, but they cut this when it came out in VHS, right? We didn't know.
Yeah, go on.
Okay, so what happened was I bought the DVD of this in about 2003, I think it was. So quite a number of years ago. And got it in and watched it. I went, my God, there's two scenes in this I've never seen before. It was never in the Roadshow. I don't know why they cut it. There was nothing in there. It was like, oh, okay, that's a bit risky. I don't know why they did that. They were just not there.
Well, one of them is like a major scene. Oh, not a major scene, but it's a big scene. You think, yeah, why would they cut
it? It's
that?
The death of Tony Schlongini. Yeah. Because they always question, they go, where the hell is he gone?
Yeah, what happened to Tony?
Where was he at the end? He would have definitely been there when all the rest of the prom crowd were there.
Yeah. But yeah, at the end of the movie, everything sort of comes to a crescendo.
It all culminates together, yeah.
Yeah, and then you see the Lumal killer ends up at the prom, you know, well...
Yeah.
We won't give away.
No, but you'll make sense when you see it. You won't be...
But yeah, it's true. You don't see what happens to Andrew Dice Clay and his girlfriend.
And that is also a problem that The Wanderers had on Roadshow.
Oh, was God, another title. Yeah, The Wanderers. That was another one.
That was chopped by 17 minutes, I think, on
Roadshow. They had a lot of things cut out, yeah.
And the one that me and Rob still always talk about, I mean, we know now because we've seen the full version, was... What the hell happened to Turkey in The Wanderers?
Yeah. Well,
he just disappeared.
Yeah, that part was cut out, but then we see the full-length version where he gets...
And it made sense. It all made sense. And so there was that scene that was cut in Wacko, the one with the death of Schlongini, and even the death was pretty funny. It wasn't malicious or nothing.
His mum turns up.
His mother turns up, he gets his head shoved into a bloody garbage disposal, which you don't see no blood.
Oh, his girlfriend's death was a bit full on though. She was in that meat grinder thing, whatever it was.
Yeah, but you don't see nothing.
You don't see it. Yeah, you just see
her legs kicking about, which is just
It's just, yeah,
and it's another sort of scene where it was just the three girls standing around talking about their last day and how they're why is this cut?
But when you sort of watch the scene, you think, what's the point of it? Because there was no point to it. But obviously it was just...
But that's not up to Roadshow to say, well, we're cutting this and we're cutting this. Because it was not for time constraints. The film barely runs 80 minutes.
Yeah.
It's 83 minutes.
Yeah,
long.
When I was watching that scene today, I thought, yeah, I definitely haven't seen this scene before. Well, if I have, it's, you know, I haven't... It definitely wasn't on the old original Roadshow,
no,
was it?
No, it wasn't. No, it was those two that were missing. And so I got the DVD and I'm like, my God, there's two scenes here. It's an extra 3 minutes. I didn't really pay attention to the running time in the back of the thing because these companies always get their running times wrong. I thought, it might be the PAL speed up of the tape is different to a DVD. But no, it was literally about 3 minutes longer, 2.5 minutes longer.
Was that a regular thing with Roadshow? Was a lot of things cut out or was it just the odd film?
It's hard to tell because I didn't watch all of them. I know that, like I said, The Wanderers, Wacko for a couple of minutes. And was there another one I'm thinking of?
I can't think of any films.
I don't think a Force of One was cut, nothing like that.
Yeah, but so those two scenes were cut out. And like you said, when you got the DVD, you know, like 15 years or so ago.
Yeah.
You know, all these scenes, yeah, it was good to see them.
It was great. It was like, oh, wow, yeah, it's only a couple of minutes, but it's, you know, I'll take as much Wacko footage as I can get. I have actually, as I told you earlier today, I said I actually have contacted filmmaker Graydon Clark because I'm friends with him on that stupid Zucker book. And I asked him, I said, look, Graydon, look, do you mind if I ask you a question? He goes, of course. He goes, I said, what's happened to Wacko? He goes, I don't know. He goes, I really don't know what's happened to it. He goes, I don't know who owns the rights. I don't know where it's gone. Because he goes, I'm slowly trying to release all my other movies onto Blu-ray as a you know, like a keepsake to have them preserved, I should say. Because I don't know where it is.
Hmm.
And boy, I hope there's a print of it running around. There's a film that was in that catalogue, one called Get Crazy. Remember that, Malcolm McDowell?
I can't say I do.
It's gone.
Is it?
Yeah, the video last. Has survived, the audio is gone.
Okay. Yeah, I have to admit, not a lot of those movies were big name movies, were they?
No.
Even that Tom Selleck film, Hard Road to China.
High Road to China. Not Hard Road.
High Road to China.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of another movie.
Yeah.
Sorry. Yeah, a lot of them were, they were sort of like more, I would call big.
Golden Harvest were an affiliate of Roadshow. They had, so obviously Roadshow had picked up titles by Golden Harvest and other companies out there. Orion was another company who they had, because that's what First Blood was, an Orion release.
Yeah, I remember the Orion, yeah.
Yeah, so like I said earlier on, it was the smaller companies. It wasn't the major players out there that they had access to.
Okay.
Because obviously they got their own home video. They got their own home video that they had to deal release their own titles. But yeah, so with Wacko, you know, it's just all parodies. There is a linear story through there. So it's not all parody for the sake of parody, you know, like a sketch show, because that would just
Yeah, be... what sort of comedy would you describe this as? Just parody, is it?
Or... Yeah, more horror, comedy, parody.
It definitely doesn't take itself seriously, though, does it?
Nah, you couldn't.
I mean, Joe Don Baker, some of those gags with Joe Don Baker and Charles Napier and all the cameos and...
Well, Joe Don Baker's filling up... His work bag, he's like his briefcase with coffee in it.
Yeah, let's talk
about... He's got a spout in the end of it, so...
Let's talk about some of the funny sort of scenes in the movie. There was that, and then there's one part where they're online at the school canteen and they're talking about the prom and everything. And,
oh, yeah.
And then there was another reference to Lawnmower Killer, so Julia Duffy screams because she gets hysterical every time she hears
it. Yeah.
And then that sort of stops. And then you see Norman Bates, he says, "Oh, Tony's at the pea soup again." That's Tony Schlangini. So what happens? He drinks his
pea soup. He drinks this small bowl of pea soup and his head starts turning. Like, then they cut away. Then they look back to Tony and his head's fully, completely round. And then
it's like an exorcist, isn't
it? Yeah, yeah. And they cut away again to someone and they come back and his head's turned back around to the front. So,
and
yeah.
He spits out the pea soup, yeah. like it's meant to be. Well, what happens in The Exorcist? There's a...
Well, Linda Blair spits out all the green vomit.
Yeah, well, it's meant to be green vomit, but it's actually his head. Yeah. What does he say after he spits it out?
It's good stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just dice being...
yeah.
So that's another reference to a movie. Funny scenes. Yeah, there's
the island of Dr. Moreau, obviously, when they're getting injected with the football team.
Tony Schlangini and Norm Bates are a part of the football team somehow, and they haven't beaten Alfred Hitchcock's
Hitchcock's Birds, wasn't it?
Hitchcock's Birds versus
De Palma's Knives.
They haven't beaten him in 13 years.
Everything's 13.
So he ejects them with that thing, like in Island of Dr. Moreau, and they come out.
Like wild animals.
Yeah, like wild animals, and they end up winning their first football game in 13 years.
Yeah.
So that was another reference. And then as they're running out of the locker room, you see a reference to the Elephant Man.
The Elephant Man, yeah.
Isn't that a mascot?
I'm a human being, yeah.
That's it, yeah. So there's another reference there, just slipped in, unexpected.
Of course, the Elephant Man would have been released a year earlier.
Yeah, so a lot of references come from...
Like, films at that time.
Film that time, and obviously Exorcist was a few years back.
Yeah,
and you know when Joe Don Baker cuts the big Twinkie bar,
yeah,
with the chainsaw. I wonder if that's a reference to the Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Was it a chainsaw or was it an electric knife? I can't remember.
Oh, hang on. Yeah, you're right. It was an electric knife. Yeah.
Yeah.
But wasn't there a chainsaw? No. Sorry, I tell a lie.
George Kenley had a chainsaw.
George Kenley had the
cutting
chainsaw,
the turkey up.
Cutting the turkey up. Yeah,
yeah.
That was a problem. Yeah, and then he cuts his wife's.
The top
his
of her hair.
Yeah,
her hair off, not her head.
Hairstyle, yeah. So I wonder if that's a reference to Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Oh, possibly. I'm sure they would have, you know, not made it as blatant as having Leatherface in there, but they've definitely shoehorned, you know, a reference to it in the film. The only person to know if we ever got a hold of Graydon Clark.
Okay.
He'd be able to tell you everything. I know he's got his book out, and it's on the iTunes iBooks. I would really like to get it. I know he's always talking about it, and he goes through all these films. So I'd like to get that just to read up on Wacko, if anything,
and get what sort of information
I could.
I've got a very soft spot for Wacko, so...
Oh, for sure. I mean, I honestly, I've not seen it for a number of years. And, you know, when you and I were talking about doing something because I knew that Hunter and John were going to be away, I said, I'll get my brother on. Me and him can do something. And they go, yeah, no worries, go for it. And I said, do you want to do Wacko? I said, they call me Bruce.
Yeah, I said, let's do something from our sort of early VHS era.
Yeah.
Because I think I may have mentioned that before, but I've got a real soft spot for movies from my childhood, like let's say from 79 to about 83, that sort of...
Yeah, you got like a cut-off date, really, a cut-off period.
It's also just films changed in the 90s for me and I just couldn't relate to a lot of them. Mm. I like my films simple.
Yeah.
I mean, I do like some films, like I like JFK, which is a sort of a...
Yeah, I know you're very fond of that one.
Yeah, but I like my films simple. I don't need to... have too much going on. I like it simple. I like it to be sort of comforting in a way, you know.
Yeah, it
comforting,
is.
You know, just something I can watch without too much, you know, to challenge me in that, you know. But I don't really like these mindless Hollywood films where there's machine guns. I mean, I hate that stuff. That's all rubbish. But, you know, a film like Wacko, films from our childhood seem to just appeal to me. And I said to you, I said, what is it about the films from the early 80s that just seem to appeal to us, you know?
No, I just think filmmakers didn't really...
They didn't take themselves too seriously.
They didn't think too much about what they were... I mean, they took care of what they were doing, but they didn't think... They didn't have to overthink everything these days, like, oh, okay, if we do this, will they offend this people? If we do that, will they offend this? Well, I don't care. If you're going to get offendable, I don't give a shit. That's your problem, you know? That's your disposition. It's not mine.
If you do analyse a lot of those films from that time, there is a lot of... you know, there's not much PC. Look at They Call Me Bruce, you know, there's... All these Chinese jokes.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah.
You know, I mean, I can't think of one off the top of my head, but there's so many Chinese jokes. And, you know, and that's what makes...
Well, him just being Asian and being, you know, called Bruce.
Yeah.
You know, he's like, oh, you're just stereotyping all Asians as Bruce Lee. Well, I don't think they'd complain about it if you're going to call them Bruce Lee. I'm sure they'd like it.
And even the horror films, they were, you know, they were still simple in their, what they were about. Nowadays, it's just too many... just too many things. They're trying to usher in too many things into it. Like, we've got to have this kind of person, that kind of person.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, okay, we've got to make sure we have a black in here and an Asian in here, and we've got to have a gay person here. Okay. You know what? If you want to do that, that's fine. And no one's saying you can't. But you're diversifying your cast for the sake of diversifying. You're trying to get somebody to fit a character who may not necessarily fit it, but you, because you have to play the identity politics and the race card, you shoehorn them all in. And it makes no sense.
Can I also make mention of one other thing? The women in those 80s films were a damn sight better looking than they are the ones you see in
today's
films.
Yeah, I've said that. I mean, John and I have this conversation all the time, you know, having grown up around the same time together. And obviously being, you know, a number of years older than Hunter, we've always said, even back in the 70s and even the 60s and the movies in there, they're just way better looking.
I can't think of any recent TV show or recent movie where they'll have young...
No, because the women try to look like boys, that's why.
Either that or they've just got an attitude that there's no need for it. And you look at the three girls in this movie, you know.
They had attitude like the Rosie did, but she was still nice looking.
Yeah, but they still wanted to be women or wanted to be, you know.
That's right. You know, I like my women who look like women. I'm sorry, you know, if that's, I don't want to look like some sort of, you know, beaten up old tranny. I don't give a fuck, you know. If that's someone's bag, it's their bag.
What's the deal now with this new generation of women and covered in tattoos? What's that all about?
Oh, no.
It looks hideous. Anyway, but you didn't see tattoos in those days, but okay, each to their own. If you want tattoos, that's fine. But for me, this is me probably being an old fogey now, but the girls back then were much, much prettier than they are.
Oh, yeah. Way better.
Much prettier.
Yeah.
And just more feminine, I suppose.
Well, Julia Duffy in this movie was 30.
Nearly
30, I think 28 or something.
And I think the one that plays her friend Bambi, I think she was...
About the same.
Was she about the same, was she?
No, I think so, yeah.
She still looks good. Have you seen her recently?
I have, I saw her in Rob Zombie, The Abomination, what was it, 31, I think she was in.
Okay.
I think she was in that or maybe the one of the ones before that or something. I think she was in that or, yeah.
But there, another thing about those that sort of era is the this is now in America. Okay, there's a lot of American stereotypes, wasn't there, in that time? You know, there was always in the movies. There's always the, you know, the jocks, the geeks.
Yeah,
that was a very common theme in the movies back then as well. You know, you're guaranteed a jock, you're guaranteed a geek. Okay, in this film, we've got the three geeks who were Tony Schlongini's
sort of cheer squad for him.
Yeah, it's his cheer squad, isn't it?
Yeah, basically, yeah.
It's a cheer
squad. They all stand around every morning, waiting for him to come to the gate. So they, you know, they run late for class. He runs late for class.
You know, it's hilarious in that part where you first see Tony Schlongini. His girlfriend comes up and she's sort of cock teasing him,
yeah.
saying, you know, you'll have to wait till tonight to the prom to get, yeah. you know.
Oh my gosh.
And then two of the geek guys are just hanging around, and one of them tries to take a peek at her because he says, maybe she shows her cleavage.
Oh, yeah, sneak preview, whatever it was.
Yeah, yeah. And one of the geek guys sticks his head around, and Dice Clay, Tony Schlongini sort of pushes him back.
Yeah, the geek. Don't block my view.
They said, you know, this is my girl. You don't, yeah. don't. And then, you know, Dice Clay's, you know, he's getting all, Tony Schlongini's getting all worked up about it. And then his girlfriend goes off and she said, see you tonight, sort of thing. And then, then Julie Duffy comes up and says, I don't want you to think all girls like that at school. She goes,
yeah, she goes, because the girlfriend goes, oh, I'm not wearing any panties. And then Julia Duffy goes, Tony, don't feel bad. Not all the girls. He goes, oh.
Not all girls are like that.
No, she goes, oh, I bet half the girls in school don't wear panties. He's like, he goes, his face light up. And she goes, I'm wearing mine, see? And
yeah, she shows skirt up. Yeah.
See, slung at you. Oh.
And see, the geek guy all covered in denim, he's just sort of, you know, nodding his head, you know, like really getting into it, you know, getting a free show.
Yeah.
Yeah, oh.
Don't see.
He's doing like a real. John Travolta there, isn't
he? Oh, yeah, oh, for
my.
Sure.
What does he say?
Oh, my God. Yeah. I got to say, honestly, Jules, watching this again, like I said just previously, I've not seen this for many years, but, man, I was...
You're pretty quiet when you're watching it, though.
Man, I was starving. You have no idea.
Okay.
That didn't... We messed up. We said earlier while we were eating dinner, so we stopped. No. We should have eaten beforehand, that's but we'll right. do it next time.
That's all right.
Because we'll clock watching the bit going, oh, man.
I was just sort of more concerned about the time because we had things to do, but
but
I was laughing during the film. I was
some things fucking got laugh. Me real big time.
I wanted to bring things up, but I thought no, I'll wait till we chat about it later. But but now there's so many funny scenes in the movie, you can't really bring them all up because you know you just sort of give the whole film away, won't you?
Yeah,
but,
you give away all the laughs, and you don't want to do that.
But for people who haven't seen it, what would you say to them? Apart from obviously give it a watch, but what would you sort of say going into it? What would you like? Okay, we're now in 2018.
I'd say go in,
try to go in
with a couple of beers. I'd say and enjoy yourself.
I'd say go in and put your mind back to the '80s and say it's just going to be a fun '80s, early '80s film.
Yeah,
you know, keep the PC shit at the door. You know.
Yep.
PC
crap.
Yeah, keep your PC garbage at the door.
I think most people who watch these movies are going to be doing that anyway. They're not going to be. No, social justice warriors can be watching Wacko. It's not happening.
Yeah, well, they can do what they like. But
yeah,
if you're from our sort of age group, you might watch it and sort of see, you know, the time, you know, you can remember back. But if you're younger, that's sort of people I was sort of talking about, people who were born afterwards.
Yeah, you know. But nobody really under 30 is going to be watching Wacko at all.
Yeah, but let's say, for instance, you know, you said to your kids, okay, I'm going to give you a film to watch called Wacko. How would you say to them, you know, okay, this is what you should expect coming in, you know?
Sit down, watch this, and watch something decent for once.
Maybe.
I'd say, honestly, sit back, have fun with it.
Honestly, I reckon, this is just me, this is my personal opinion, I reckon this film is a very niche market for people who are born in our era.
Yeah, it is.
Because I don't hear anyone from our parents' generation who would ever get into Wacko.
Mm.
And I don't think your kids' generation would get into it, or even...
No.
People say born, you know, maybe around 1989, 1990, around that time. I think it was a niche market for people who were born around our time.
Yeah.
Which is like the early
70s. Early 70s for me. Yeah.
So when Wacko came out, we were like 10 or 11 years old, discovering VHS.
Yeah.
That was our only way to see films. So I reckon it's almost like heavy metal was in the 80s for us. It was It was sort of gang mentality. This is just for us and nobody else. You know?
Yeah.
So
pretty much. I mean, we were very lucky having Roadshow over here.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah.
But how many times have I said, you know, I always feel very glad that I grew up in a time with all those movies, all that music from our era. I mean, I look at the stuff now and I think to myself, oh, you know.
I feel sorry for my kids growing up with the stuff
they've got. They've got a whole new different spectrum. They've got the internet and stuff, but we didn't have that. But,
no.
But, you know, we had all these films that were just, I don't know, they just still retain.
Yeah.
Even the music. I mean, you listen to the radio now. They're still playing music from the early 80s.
I'd rather listen to Avalon than I'd rather listen to
Avalon's. Hey,
other friggin' band on this.
Get it. Speaking of Avalon, I mean, those four songs. They're actually really good songs, aren't they?
They're gross. I mean, they're only pop songs, and you know.
But they actually suit that prom thing, don't they?
They do.
But that prom that looked like a fun place.
Yeah.
The band.
Cool band.
Yeah. Well, the four songs Avalon's. The first one was Messing with My Baby.
Yeah. Messing with My Baby, whatever.
Yeah, that's a good song.
Blackmail.
Catch Us If You Can.
Catch Us If You Can.
And Rumour Has It. Which one's your favourite, did you say?
I like Blackmail and Rumour Has It.
Yeah, I like Messing with My Baby. Mm. The three of them are on YouTube. If you look up Wacko Soundtrack, I think, or Avalon, Avalon, you should be able to get those songs. They're quite catchy songs.
Yeah.
But Messing with My Baby, which is my favourite, I can't find it, so. Let's just keep searching.
Maybe you have to find the right person who's uploaded it.
Yeah. Well, maybe it's under a different name altogether. But there's none of the links show it as well. So
I am going to try and contact one of the members of Avalon. Say, look, I'd say that Rick Nayer, I think you pronounce his name.
What's the guy's name? Chris Cote or Chris
Cote? Cote.
Yeah, Cote. Mr. Cote.
Yeah. And they wrote and arrange those sort of the Avalon songs. I dare say they're the best person to get. Because as I told you as we were watching this, those songs were not done live.
No, they were pre-recorded.
So they're mimed to – there's obviously recordings of them.
Yeah. Now, if you listen to the ones on YouTube, it's the exact same sound as that. So they're –
Yeah,
so it's just a studio recording.
So they've obviously done either an album or they've done an EP. But going back, if I can stretch my memory back to the email I had, I think the guy said they were on an EP or a demo tape.
Okay. Yeah, it sounds like – it does sound like an EP, doesn't it? Or a demo, yeah, it does.
Mm, but it sounds like an EP more than a demo.
Very catchy songs, though, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. Avalon became another band after.
Yes,
that.
They did, yeah. I looked them up on Wikipedia or somewhere. Yeah. And they went on and did some other stuff. So, I don't know, what else can we sort of add to this film? There's not much more you can say.
It's quick. It's only about 83 minutes.
Jam-packed full of jokes, or full of gags and jokes and fun stuff.
Some work, some don't. Most do.
Yeah, I mean... It's not perfect, but it's a really good. Being 80 minutes.
Yeah, you're not going to sit there and go, oh God, it's like 2 hours and 15 minutes. There's no way. It's nothing like that.
And if you didn't grow up probably or know of these films that they're referencing, you probably might find it a little bit hard to follow.
But I think, though, if you're even half a horror fan, it's not that they're referencing films that are so obscure you'll never pick them. Island of Dr. Moreau, but might be the only one that people go, oh, what's that from?
Yeah. I mean,
But stuff like Halloween.
Overall, you should get what films they're referencing.
Yeah. It's not uncommon things. Like, there was no references to Black Christmas in there, which is, while it's still a very popular one, is not as popular as your Halloween's and Exorcist and Omen and all that.
So who would you say your favourite characters in the film?
Joe Don Baker,
okay.
Easily.
I mean, I like him. He's hilarious.
Oh, he's hysterical in this one.
All right, and who else? Who else would you pair alongside?
Oh, like Dice Clay's all right. He's stupid, but he's all right.
Yeah, he does. He does keep it.
I like Damien the son. He's funny.
Yeah,
as he has, you know.
Like when Zeke is funny.
Oh, Zeke is funny. Yeah. Harry Palms is funny.
Harry Palms. Yeah, I love that part where he's.
He's putting that kid's head in the vice.
Do you know that kid reminds you of?
No,
he reminds you of a young Herschel Savage.
Oh, is he? Okay.
Yeah, for anyone who knows.
Fucking he needs his head put in a vice.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, Herschel Savage, yeah.
Yeah.
But he runs it. When we saw it, when we saw that film sort of, later on, we said, it looks like Herschel Savage, doesn't it?
Mm.
But how's that part when Harry Palmer's dressed up, he's like auditioning for the Village People?
Yeah.
That funny voice of his as well.
Oh, yeah. And he talks so fast as well.
Yeah, he's got that sort of...
real sort of rat-a-tat style of speaking. Yeah, it's just so quick.
It's almost like he's doing a little stand-up thing when he's talking to himself in the mirror, isn't it?
Yeah, for sure.
He goes, "Who's that?" Remember, there's a knock on the door. It's the
oh my god, things have people coming to audition me.
That's brilliant, isn't it?
Yeah.
And he puts on the helmet and he does a little dancing in the mirror. I mean, yeah. It's fantastic.
Because he's just got his crappy shorts and his braces on.
But you know what? But yeah. yeah, I know. He's got the sunglasses, the mirror glasses like from the Village People era.
Yeah. Yeah, like the cop from the Village People, yeah.
but that film, you still need to have quality actors and comedians too.
Oh yeah, I mean you couldn't have had someone who couldn't be as good as Joe Don Baker.
Yeah, and okay, Andrew,
because he carries the film pretty much a lot. That's why I bring him up a fair bit.
He does. I mean, and all the cameos, Charles Napier, all these people. Yeah. Dice Clay had been on the comedy circuit for about 3 or 4 years by this stage, so he'd already been honing his craft. You know, he was already, you know, he knew what he was doing.
Even Stella Stevens and George Kenley were great.
Oh, yeah, fantastic.
Good pairing, you know.
Because they play that sort of older generation, don't they? You know, There's that gap, you know. But
have you ever noticed with George Kennedy, when Harbinger goes to the door to tell him that their daughter Pam was dead?
Yeah.
How his hair starts out dark, then when they find out that she's dead, his hair's white? Yeah. Haven't you seen that?
Yeah, that's a good point, because I did notice at one point his hair was dark, but
yeah, it's
I
when didn't he goes. Know- When he says about getting the razor blade, getting the apple back out of the bag, the about blades. The razor blades and the apple, But yeah, his hair's dark.
Is
it's
that
obviously
he
a
found
side
out
gag.
His daughter died. Or
yeah.
Oh, okay. I hadn't noticed that. Okay.
Oh, really? Yeah, okay. I've seen it for God knows how long.
I thought his hair was dark.
No.
Because it was a flashback.
It's like he's aged in about 20 years over just from the news.
All right. See, that's what it's a classic example of the ridiculous jokes that are. Throughout the movie, you know.
But you've seen it for 35 years and you didn't notice that.
Yeah, didn't pick it up. Yeah. I was too busy watching Joe Don Baker make that giraffe out of the balloons.
Out of the balloons, yeah.
So,
but yeah, his hair goes from dark to white.
I mean, there's about 5 or 6 really funny characters in it and the rest are all good.
Harbinger's family is funny, man.
I know that, but it's a very quick part. But you think, well, why has he got a family... They look like something out of the like 50s or 60s from Mississippi or something.
Yeah.
It's just shoot in for a laugh, yeah.
Some family out of Harlem or something like that.
Yeah, it's... Yeah, what does the father say? "We're worried about your son." What does he say? Like that. "Son, you should get some more rest. We're worried about your son." I don't want to say something like
"What you need is a good woman." That's the brother, yeah. Take it from your brother.
Yeah, I know. It's hilarious, yeah.
Yeah. Cuts him that Twinkie the size of, my God, like a house.
And that scene with... when Tony Schlonghini is having dinner with Rosie and her parents.
Oh, yeah.
They're like real sort of middle to upper class family, you know. And
Julian, don't ever call me Anthony.
Don't ever call me Anthony.
Call me Mr. Schlonghini. My friends call me the Schlong.
Yeah, the Schlong. The Schlong. Okay, Mr.
Schlonghini. Gini.
No, Mr. Schlonghini. Yes. No, we say, hey, Mr. Schlonghini. That's it. Okay, Mr. Schlonghini. Gini. Yeah.
Talk about making the bloody table uncomfortable then.
Oh, I know. Mm-hmm. And then his girlfriend flirts with him and he... Do you know why the table falls over?
Yeah, he gets a hard on.
Okay, I thought... When I was a kid... Okay, I was a kid, all right.
Yeah.
Cut me some slack here. I thought he was just lifting the table up.
No.
Yeah, but all right. Yeah, he's... His girlfriend's obviously... Yeah, he's getting hard on the table, just goes flying over. Oh, God. He's got the Superman...
stupid Superman suit on.
With a T on it for Tony.
Oh, no, it's ridiculous.
There's a T on there for Tony Schlonghini. Yeah. So, yeah, because they're all dressed up for the prom, obviously. So Julia Duffy, she went as... Mary Poppins, did they say? No, not Mary Poppins. It was...
No, I don't know.
Anyway, yeah, Tony Schlonghini goes as Superman and Norman Bates goes as a cowboy or something, doesn't he?
Like Howdy Doody or something,
something like that, yeah. And he wins the prom queen thing for... what does he say? "I'd like to thank you for this door prize." It's the door.
It's just the door.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, yeah, so that's a good example of the corny jokes in it that...
Yeah.
Yeah, anyway, yeah, I don't know what else we can add to it.
I don't know. I reckon we added a score to it. We're pretty much done with this.
All right, go on. You go first. What would you give it out of 10?
I'm going to give it like a 9. I really enjoyed it a lot.
9, okay.
Yeah. I mean, if I can watch it 35 years later and still laugh like we did tonight, like I did tonight, so I should say. I can't speak for you, but I know you were laughing your ass off at bits. That's a sign of something that's held up. I mean, is a nine based on high art of the? No, not at all. Yeah, but it was never meant to be that.
Yeah, but Stu, I've seen films that were so-called funny back then, and you watch them now, and you go, "Oh, this is pretty bad."
I know. Yeah,
but this film is not one of those.
No, it's not.
Yeah,
no, it really isn't.
So it's still. If it's good, if it's good, it makes you laugh. That means it's still good. Basically. Yeah.
If I can, my attitude is if I can sit down all the way through it and still enjoy it after so much time, like with Phantom of the Park. Yeah, it's a dumb as bricks movie. It really is.
You're looking for someone.
God, don't make me do that sound drop again. But I can sit through it, and Phantom of the Park's not funny. If I do laugh, it's all unintentional, but it's something I can sit through very easily and enjoy over and over.
All right, well, I'm going to give Wacko a 10.
Give it a 10?
Yep, I'm going to give it a 10. The reason is because I can watch it anytime I want to watch it, I'll always enjoy it.
Mm.
For me, it's a 10. I could say probably 9.5, but I'm going to say a 10 because there's so much sentimental value there for me with that film.
How much out of the 10 would be sentimental value?
Oh, quite a bit. No, I'd say half sentimental, half funny.
So if you shoved away the sentimental side of it, it'd be a 5.
No, I'm not saying that. But I'm saying there's a lot of sentimental value attached to the movie. But
it blends in together.
Yeah. I'm not scoring it 10 for comedy. I'm scoring it 10 for total enjoyment or what it gives me as a film. I can watch it any time and not feel... At any time that this film's...
You've changed my mind. I'm going to give it a 10.
Yeah. For me, it's a 10. I can't tell others what they think of it.
We sound a bit weird, though, because we gave Meantime a 10. We're giving Wacko a 10.
I wouldn't sit here and spend an hour and a half of my time reviewing a movie I didn't like. That's just me, but...
And you've been on, like, once.
Yeah.
Once a year, so...
Okay, I'm the sort of person... I've got my top... I've got about 100 films that I really, really treasure, and...
You literally have like, he's not kidding. You literally have 100 films. That's it.
I've got about 94. I'd like to get another.
And you
6.
Want to build up the sixth of the 100. That's
there,
it.
There are 6 out there that I need, but I don't know what they are. I'll have to.
You have to find them.
And then there'll be about another 50 to 100 films that I quite like, and the rest I can live without.
You can live without. Yeah.
I don't even watch anything that comes out in Hollywood. No,
nothing to see.
These Marvel films, I don't care. I'm not interested.
Well,
I mean, the other day as I was telling you before, I was just happened to be watching TV and Missing in Action 2 came on TV with Chuck Norris and that, and I just sat down for an hour and a half and watched it and just had a great time. But if it was a brand new, if that was a new film with some
The Rock,
if it was some new film with some new people in it I didn't know, I'd be turning over in 5 minutes because
wouldn't even give it the 5 minutes, would you?
And I'm not being a movie snobber. I just can't see. I don't see there's no quality anymore like there used to be. Not so much quality, but there's...
Perfect example. If you watch a trailer these days, if you go to the movies, I'll watch a trailer and I go, I can't do it. Like, I watch a trailer that would have played for the Roadshow on the VHS tapes, and, I'm pushing my sentimental value aside for those. I'll sit there and watch it. Like, if I watch a trailer for Wacko, which I never saw that much on the old tapes...
I'll tell you how I remember the Wacko trailer.
Where did it come from?
I don't know which film it came. I don't know which film it came from, but I can tell you why I know I've seen the trailer for it.
Mm-hmm.
There's only one part I remember from it. No, there's two. There's one part I know from it.
Right.
It's always that part where Julia Duffy and her boyfriend are driving to the prom and they eject the.
Oh, they eject Stella Stevens out of the car
into the river, whatever.
And
it is,
also
yeah.
the all the cream pies thrown at George Kennedy.
Yeah, I think that. Yeah,
it's in the trailer too. Yeah,
I'm pretty sure that's a part of it as well. And
that
I think,
starts the trailer.
And I think. Tony Schlangini with the head turning around the pea soup, maybe.
Yeah.
No, wasn't that the cover? Wasn't there a cover with four
pictures and a circle picture of Bambi and Looney?
Okay, they said that was in the circle.
Yeah.
So you had. I remember one of them was Tony Schlangini with the pea soup.
Yeah.
Part. I can't remember the rest though.
Mrs. Bates was one.
Mrs. Bates with what with
just Mrs. No, just Mrs. Bates. Bates.
Yeah. Okay.
One was
Julie Duffy. Was it?
Yeah, it might have been. The other one, I'm sure, was George Kennedy.
Okay. But that was the slapped together Roadshow cover, wasn't it?
Yeah, it doesn't exist. Because I just tried to make that one for my DVD.
Okay.
And as I told you, we're Blowout. The poster for Blowout that they've got, this is how sad I am, right? The poster for Blowout, which I saw on the front of their VHS tapes, I was telling Julian, I said...
A,
I can't find this poster of Blowout. I said, I've looked through the US the Germany, Holland, the UK, and all the posts they have for Blowout are different. I thought, how the hell did the Australian one get this? And then I went to Movie Stills DB.
Okay.
And God help me, there was the two pictures of John Travolta, Nancy Allen in there, which the poster for Blowout was just the two movie stills. They just put them side by side, put Blowout in their lettering.
Okay.
Because they use the same lettering as they did for the front of the Roadshow home video, in other words, home video up the top.
Home video. Fucking home video.
Fucking home video. That was done with the Blowout font. And then just the other font down the bottom.
Well, you might have a bit of luck getting it back because there's a bit of a you might not know this, but they're actually doing John Travolta's actually doing a remake of Blowout.
What's it called? Blowing Arab Guys.
It's Blowouts starring John Travolta and a male masseuse.
yeah, Arab masseuse or a black male masseuse. Yeah.
Sorry, that was a bad John Travolta joke there.
Yeah.
That's called
Blow My Scientology Cock. That's called.
All right, on that note, I think we've pretty much covered Wacko.
We've probably upset a few people as well.
That's all right. Yeah. It's always good to upset somebody.
Yeah.
So Wacko, I mean, I don't know. I reckon go out and check it out.
But where can you get it? You can't get it.
Where can you get it?
Yeah, Rob told me, when I went to dinner with Rob about two or three weeks back, he goes, do you get that copy of Wacko still on DVD? I said, yeah, I've still got it. He goes, how much that goes for now? I said, no. He goes, it goes about £50. And it was 40 to £50.
I could believe that, yeah.
I said, oh. He goes, what'd you pay for yours? I said, oh, like £9, I think, £8 or £9.
You pay for that amount.
That's what I pay. And then freight. So maybe about $25 all on top. And he goes, hang on to it. I said, it's not going nowhere.
Yeah.
I said, even if that made a release on the Blu-ray, I said, and as I mentioned in this episode, I said, I would not get rid of that DVD. I would just house it as a double disc in the Blu-ray.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, just keep it.
Because as we were watching, I told you, I said, this looks like it's just come basically from home video.
Home video.
Looks like it's come from a VHS onto...
Yeah, it does. It does.
It's not, because you can see it's just come from a really poor print.
But was it actually shot in widescreen?
Yeah, it would have been. I can't say for sure, but I dare say it would have been.
I don't mind the fact that I've got a sort of a VHS sort of
a pan scan version of it.
That doesn't bother me.
This was, I don't think, and I might be wrong if Graydon Clark ever hears this, that I don't think this was shot in scope, because if it's shot in scope in like Rambo was, like First Blood was, sorry, when they zoom into pan and scan, you can see they really lose a lot of quality because it zooms in.
Like Halloween did
as well. And it's just a mess at times. Yeah. The worst I ever saw on that on VHS was The Fog. It was just ridiculous.
Okay. What did you see? Just fog everywhere, did you?
No. When Rob and I watched it back at my old place on Railway Avenue, we watched it one day. We're just watching on a Saturday afternoon. So it probably didn't help with the lights or the sun streaming in.
Oh, okay.
I remember Rob just sitting there, he goes, what the fuck's going on? I can't see a thing. It's like watching a black screen. We could just see like a little shape here and there. The video was so bad. The VHS was so bad of it. And then I had never seen it properly until I got the DVD of it in about 2004, I think it was, 2005, something like that. I said, oh my God, it's like watching a brand new movie. Then, of course, I got... the Blu-ray after that.
Yeah.
Which, thank God, with a Blu-ray released by Scream Factory, comes with two covers on either side.
Okay, flip.
Yeah, one's their commissioned artwork and one is the original poster.
All right.
Which was the one that was on the VHS. It was like, oh, grouse, this looks cool.
Okay.
Yeah.
Speaking of covers, the Wacko cover, just before you finish up, the Wacko cover, is that the original sort of poster?
That's the poster, yeah.
But was that the original cover as well? Or was the Wacko cover?
No, the Roadshow one's got nothing to do with it.
Okay, so that was...
No, I'm telling you now, that Roadshow one would have come from publicity stills.
Okay.
And they've just put them all together.
Whacked it together, yeah.
And whacked it together, like they did that. That's with Blowout. Like, yeah. That's not a poster.
Okay.
And they've just taken the lettering and just, like I said, they would have just all got stencils from the US.
Yeah, that looks like they just slapped a cover together.
The easiest ones that they've done are the hardest ones to do. Hardest ones because they're not using the poster art. The one as well, I tried looking for it on Thursday. Sorry, Friday. My apologies. Was Up the Creek. I'm like, oh, Up the Creek.
Was that a roadshow? Was that a roadshow?
That was a roadshow too, yeah.
Okay.
But Up the Creek, every effing post you look for that has got the one with Tim Matheson on the front holding up the canoe or the boat,
whatever. Do you know to this day I still haven't seen Up the Creek?
No, it's okay.
I know. All I know is that Pee Wee from Porky's.
And Flounder as well.
And Flounder was in it. Yeah, Rob told me that, yeah.
Yeah.
I still haven't seen it. Apparently it's okay.
It's fine. That's perfectly fine.
It's okay. I'll have to watch it. It's one of those ones that was always...
Well, it's 84, so it might fall into your time frame.
Yeah, I know.
Or 83.
But it got a lot of disappointing reviews. Like, it was... Oh, it fell short of Animal House and it fell short of Porky's. But
no, they're always going to say that because you know, they're looking for the next Animal House and Porky's. And a lot of people would argue Porky's isn't very funny these days.
Oh, come on. Porky's is...
No, but a lot of people would say that,
We didn't see Porky's at the cinema, but... We were at the cinema the day it was showing. Can you remember that?
Yeah, I remember the poster.
Yeah, and I remember we went and saw... Do you remember what film we went and saw?
Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Correct. We saw Raiders of the Lost Ark, and I think either before or just after us, a bunch of teenage girls came in and bought tickets to see Porky's.
Did they? Yeah.
Yeah, but we were too young for that.
We should have snuck in.
but we saw Raiders of the Lost Ark. That was a good film.
Yeah, that was good fun at the movies. Yeah, Porky's would have been better, though.
We saw that a couple of years later on VHS, didn't we? See, that was another thing we saw on VHS early on in the piece, didn't we?
From whose video store?
It
wasn't Ronnie. Remember the guy's name?
Was it George?
George, yeah.
Yeah, George. Yeah.
Yeah. Barclay George, Street George, Video. Yeah.
That was a good video store, that was.
Yeah, it was, actually. It was bloody good. I wish I had bought up on some of their stock when they were selling later on when they became Network Video.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I've still got my box of tapes near, which... I know for a fact the only one I've gotten. I'm almost tempted to pull that crate down from my garage, but I can't be asked right to now.
Right, do it when you're in the mood. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. I'll pull that crate down because I've been telling you for a long time. I'm sure I got Wacko on tape.
All right.
I know. Definitely, I've got still on Roadshow is Great Scout and Cat House Thursday.
That was a Roadshow release. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Just before we finish up, let's try and name some of the Roadshow titles for anyone out there who may know these titles. I can name some.
When you coming back, Red Rider?
When you come back, Red Rider. Little Lord Fauntleroy.
Yeah, Little George was another one. The St. Bernard.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's right. Yep, yeah.
Bedside Headmaster, Bedroom Mazurka.
Were they other titles, were they?
Yeah, they were in the adult part of it.
I remember Insatiable, that was Melvin Chambers. I remember Venom.
Venom.
Rabid, a film called Rabid.
Yeah, Scanners.
Scanners was another one.
Yeah.
First Blood, Blowout, Halloween 2.
Yeah.
There's one called Battle Truck.
Yeah.
Was Turkey Shoot?
Turkey Shoot was in there. Battle Truck. Megaforce.
Megaforce, yeah. Yeah, so there was quite a few, but obviously, I have to try and remember them all. But,
Wasn't there, was Empire of the Ants? No, that was another company.
I don't recall that one, but.
Oh, Alligator, was that one?
Class of 84.
Class of 84, yeah, Class of 84. I think I still got Class of 84 on tape. I may do. I know.
Or Class of 1984, I think.
Yeah, Class of 1984.
Yeah.
There was that big bloody flood I had back here in my house in 2006.
Oh, yeah.
And there was a bunch of tapes that were stupid me left on the ground in a box, and they got waterlogged. And Mad Max, which now I don't even know what sort of price that goes for, that tape. Because that was in pristine condition.
Oh, was it?
Oh, yeah.
I'll just try and make the covers and just sort of reproduce what you don't have anymore.
Well, Mad Max, I was playing around with how to make my own Roadshow cover, and that is just the Australian poster art. That blue one, that dark blue one.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember that one.
That's just the Australian poster art, and that's easy to do. And thankfully, there is a website there called Aussie VHS Blogspot, something like that.
Okay.
Where this guy's just uploaded all these covers. Not in high quality. Some are. Ah, American Werewolf in London. That's another one.
That was another one, yeah.
That's
one.
That's easy to make.
Is it?
Okay. That one's easy to make. I've already got that poster and ready to go. Yeah. So anyway, we're going to keep rattling on. We won't do that. So we'll wrap it up. So anyway, thanks, Jules.
Yeah, it's been fun. Thanks for having me. It was good watching Wacko. And I hope if anyone out there is interested, check it out. Especially if you're an Andrew Dice Clay fan and you've not seen it.
Do you know if it's been put on YouTube, the whole film?
Because
you go on YouTube more than me. No.
No. I don't even know if there aren't any clips. There's
really
there may be a few, but not many.
Oh,
a few snippets. There's the three songs from Avalon that are in there. But you've got to type in Wacko soundtrack or something.
But that don't really make much sense unless you've seen the movie.
No, yeah, I know. But that's all I could find on there.
Mm. Let's just hope, fingers crossed, we can get some sort of release. I mean, you know, we got They Call Me Bruce on Blu-ray, so who knows? Nothing's impossible.
I can't see why it wouldn't be released, but...
It's case of finding it.
Yeah, okay, well...
All right.
I think we'll...
call it a day.
Yeah, and...
Have Hunter and John back on next week, I believe. I know John will be... Hunter may be on. I don't know how much of the shift he's got left by the time this is out. So I dare say he'd be finished, so we most likely have Hunter back on. And John will be back from his little Kung Fu expedition in California.
It'd be good to hear about that.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for having me on, just to fill in, and I enjoyed it.
All right, and I'll have to think of something for next time.
Well, Tatum Stan was supposed to be the second one, but we
don't know if it's something that movie. Seriously.
What about Extro?
Oh, God, Extro.
Does anyone ever even know what Extro, anyone know that film?
It's on Blu-ray, Jules.
Oh, God, is it?
Sure it is, yeah.
That film scarred me when I watched that.
Did it?
Yeah, it's some pretty...
Because it was so bad.
There's some really graphic things happening in it that I...
Cheap little knockoff of E.T. Mantle was.
This alien was... All this vomit was coming out of this alien and it just...
Cheap knockoff.
Let's not finish up on Extra.
Let's finish off with one more Roadshow title. Cujo.
Oh, Cujo. Yeah, that was a Roadshow title. All right.
All right. Enough of that. All right. So, well, I'll catch you guys next week, and I'll imitate Hunter as usual and say adios. Thank you for listening to the Midnight Movie Cowboys. For more information, go to www.midnightmoviecowboys.com. For feedback, comments, or show suggestions, go to midnightmoviecowboys@gmail.com. Like what you hear? Head on over to iTunes and leave us a review. Hear us on Stitcher Radio. Head over to Stitcher.com and download the app. Want to help the show out? Head on over to www.midnightmoviecowboys.com and hit the PayPal donate. We appreciate all donations of any denomination. Find us on Twitter at MMCowboys. Like us on Facebook. Head over to Facebook.com. Type in Midnight Movie Cowboys. Hit the like button over there. Want to friend us personally on Facebook or follow us on Twitter? Go to www.midnightmoviecowboys.com and find the links from there on the right-hand side. Thanks for listening. See you all next week.